Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies, gentlemen, Penn State's regular season is over. Bowl opportunities are at hand. And a 12-team playoff is coming to college football. I'm so happy. I am Nate Bauer. He is Sean Fitz. This is the Blue White Illustrated Daily Edition. Let's get into it. I'm not going to go crazy. That's my promise to you. 30 minutes
of light up to talk about bowl season is just why I'm here and is why our viewers on YouTube are here. Like the video if you're on YouTube, but if you're listening, just imagine Santa's face without a beard. It's red, it's glorious, and it's jolly, and he loves bowl season, and that's why we're here, because there's been some developments in bowl season with Penn State's future destination. What looked to be I don't want to call it a near lock for the Cotton, but, you know, all the projections were showing Penn State going to the Cotton to play the likely winner of Tulane, UCF, and now all of a sudden, things may have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm picking fights with people on Twitter, which like I never do. But just to celebrate the news, obviously on Wednesday night, that the Rose Bowl has agreed to be part of the system for a 12-team playoff in college football beginning in 2024. As far as I know, that's the last hurdle roadblock. So it's happening. It's happening. Long overdue, but something that needs to happen. And to my point, what is happening with Penn State this season and the possibility of Penn State going to the Rose Bowl that's the demonstration, right? Is Penn State will end up in a better, quote unquote, prestige bowl based on Ohio State. If Ohio State is left out of the college football playoff, which it appears like they will be, them declining, right? Ohio State not wanting to go to the Rose Bowl, and, you know, the way that they've dressed this up as the Rose Bowl also being amenable to that, the Rose Bowl feeling as though 2 years in a row of Ohio State is not a good thing for ticket sales and so on and so forth. So the sham system is falling apart. I couldn't be happier.
Those poor Buckeyes, man, that have to spend 2 years in a row going to the Rose Bowl. They've got it rough, and it'd be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Of course, you know, chaos is what we always root for, but chaos, or actually the status quo, may be the best path for Penn State to the Rose Bowl now. Of course, yep. Orange Bowl, I guess you still have a sliver there. Citrus Bowl, if some things happen, I guess. But I mean, I don't think you're writing in pen to the Rose Bowl right now, but Penn State looks pretty strong there with how things seem to be playing out, and the reporting on both sides. I mean, you talked about this for a little while, and then the Ohio State side of things seems to be like they don't want to go back to Pasadena, which, as we said earlier this week on the live show, a lot of our bowl projection coverage is very, very selfish as to where we want to go. And I'll go back to Pasadena. It's a great bowl. I love the Rose Bowl. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days, and it should be entertaining. And there will be a finality to this, of course, on Sunday.
For the record, I'm rooting for Purdue to beat Michigan and just ruin everything.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there. 12-team playoff, Fitz. What do you got? Where do you stand on this? Are you happy?
I mean, I'm happy from a, once again, selfish perspective to try and cover the playoff, because Penn State has come close to the 14 playoff, but they have not gotten in it. I think it'll help with recruiting. It's going to be similar to your New Year's Six pitch now, is that only a certain amount of teams can make that New Year's Six bowl. Now only a certain amount of teams make this 12-team playoff. I think it's going to probably end up the same way that it ends up every other year, with the top four teams advancing, depending on where they play the games and things like that, which I think are still being sorted out. But I'm not real strong on it. I, I kind of like the four-team playoff in the sense that there's usually four teams that are clearly better than all the rest. 12 teams is a lot, man. Like, I understand why they're going that way. I know. But for me, the general sense of competitiveness in college football has boiled down to just a handful of teams, and it's been less than 12 teams.
Yeah. That's the issue, though.
But I also want to cover a playoff game. Yeah, you're right.
It has nothing to do with Penn State. This is the health of the sport, is that it has narrowed the opportunity for programs to have relevance. And so you've found yourself in this, you've got 130 teams. It should be celebrated as one of the most fun, compelling sports. And to a certain extent it is, but when it comes to, I made the joke on Twitter the other night about those ESPN commercials where the dad is talking about Mother Goose and, you know, oh, this is the time of year when these people decide who's in the playoff. It's just dumb. It just does not work when you have a few people making these decisions. If there was just a path, a clean, clear demonstration of this is what it takes to get into a playoff, it takes all of the guessing out of it, and maybe that's part of the appeal. I don't know. Like, I don't have that fan side where I can say, oh man, I really get revved up over being able to disagree with people about who belongs and who doesn't. But to my bigger point, it is a poison to the game to take away all of the opportunities that would allow recruits, transfers, all, like, we're going to get into this later, but all of these players who are not sticking with the closest option to home, who are looking for a viable path to being part of a postseason in college football, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because there's so few teams that have been able to get there. And the evidence is there. Like, the data is plenty at this point, 8 years in. It's just not a good representation of all of the programs that are kind of sitting there, including Penn State, obviously, that are sitting there on the precipice. It's just not a good, healthy thing for college football to have that happen the way that it currently has.
Do you think it comes down to the same four teams every year?
In the future?
Yes.
That the top four teams will always advance?
No, yeah, pretty much. I mean,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. And college basketball, look.
It's different than college basketball, though. Like, it's very different.
It is different from college basketball, and I understand that, but also, even if it is 9 times out of 10, to add that element of the 9th time or the 10th time, it just changes things. I don't think it will be an automatic. I mean, you see it all the time. You know, in terms of higher ranked, college football does not have parity. We understand this. There is no draft, and so there's no level playing field as to how teams are put together. But a 12-team playoff changes that element to where I believe it's not going to effectively create a draft, but it will open up the opportunities for high-end players to see a viable path to a postseason. And so, like, I do think that it will level out the talent a little bit. NIL is going to change that and is going to mess things up a little bit as well. So yeah, I know. I very much think that in a 12-team playoff, the top four teams will not, maybe on the front end it will, but over the long term will not sail through to the Final Four. I don't think that.
Okay, I agree with that. I was just trying to get you into a rant, so that's my bad, because I love the FCS playoffs. I mean, they're so much fun to watch, and you've got a blueprint there, and, you know, it's different playing at the different level, but, you know, it's fun, and it adds an element of fun. If you can add an element of fun to 6 to 8 more fan bases that you can take these games, and it's going to change things in the regular season, because a 10-2 team is now in the playoff. You know, that didn't used to happen. style points, all this kind of things. There's a lot that changes in college football. And I do think it spreads out some of the talent to probably helps schools keep guys closer to home. You don't have to go to the SEC, quote unquote, to make a playoff or something like that. So I think it does help with that. I agree with you on a lot of these points. I just wanted to get you going. So
yeah,
thank you for doing a little bit of that.
I immediately broke my promise. I did rant. Penn State, regardless of where Penn State ends up in a bowl, one opt-out so far. Joey Porter announced that on Wednesday. Anybody else that you're looking for? Anybody else that I guess makes sense? And what's your take on opt-outs, you know, in general? Because I think there's a little bit of a narrative that these are obviously they're commonplace throughout college football, but at Penn State, they've actually been somewhat rare in the relevant bigger bowl games that Penn State has played over the last 6 years. So what are you looking for there?
I have no problem with opt-outs in terms of guys like Joey Porter that are going to, you know, obviously heal up from what he missed a couple of games with, and then getting into his training for being a first round pick. And honestly, his value as a first round pick to Penn State, equal to, maybe greater than, his value to playing against whomever Penn State's going to play in the bowl. So I see it as these guys are sharpening up for an interview for a career, and that's what college is all about. So I have no problem with it whatsoever. It seems to be largely generational in terms of the outlook for this, which I get. You know, it didn't happen a while ago. It's happening now, and that's not just college football. So I don't really care that much. I think it's the right decision for him to go ahead and do it. And it'll give an opportunity for a lot of other guys to step up. And, you know, it's not only the bowl game, it's, you know, the 15 practices and things like that leading up to it. You know, he can use that time to move into the top 15 in the draft or whatever he's going to end up being. So I think he's, and especially that position, like this is, I'm talking in generalities here, but at that position where Penn State has never had a first round pick as a cornerback, that makes a big difference. And, you know, Penn State's done a nice job of developing that position. Of course, Kalen King's up next. You've got a lot going for you. And I think that this one helps, you know, you can spin this one and make it help your program.
I mean, I'm trying to think, is anybody else, Tig Brown, maybe, like who else would make sense to at least consider it? It's just such a weird spot with the additional years for a lot of those seniors to know. I mean, PJ, maybe, you know, what are you looking for there?
Yeah. I mean, those are the guys, the seniors that are outgoing. Of course, you know, Parker Washington's not going to play anyway. So, you know, right, regardless of his decision. So you've got that, maybe Brenton Strange as well. So you've got different opportunities for these guys to do it on levels. I mean, last year, I get that Ellis Brooks had an injury at the end of the season, but he opted out and didn't practice or play and ended up, you know, not catching onto a pro team. So there's certainly more opportunity for guys like that are late round draft picks to undrafted free agents. It's certainly the opportunity for them to step up and get in there. So I don't look at this one as the Outback Bowl is different. We talked about it on the show the other night. Yeah. The Outback Bowl is different than the Rose Bowl. So you've got an opportunity for these guys to go out and make plays in there. And to be honest with you, last year, 7-5, that was a long second half of the season. That makes a difference. This was not a long second half of the season. Obviously, they had the two losses right in the middle, but they played well down the stretch. It's a personal individual choice. I have no problem with it whatsoever. These guys trying to maximize their earning potential. These guys are trying to maximize their eventual pro career. And hey, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I think it's actually interesting because I ran the numbers on defensive snaps, and this is something that James Franklin talked about late in the season or earlier this November, I should say, about how defensively, at least, the snap gap, right, like the rep gap between starters and backups was not so high. Like they were all significantly diminished. The Jair Brown was the top finisher for total reps this season, and he was well under 150 of the top, you know, the guy who had the most reps last season. So like it's just it seems to me that maybe that would be at least part of the equation I don't want to call it an incentive. I mean, obviously these guys are going to make their own choices regardless, but at least on the defensive side of the ball, it's not like you're playing, you're not exposed to a ton of risk. It's kind of similar to, you know, we talked about Saquon Barkley in 2017 as like, was he going to opt out of the bowl game? Was he not going to opt out of the bowl game? He didn't touch the ball and wasn't as involved as he would have been in a normal environment. Like the reps demonstrate that, right? But he still played. And so it seems like there could be some of that opportunity for some of these guys as well.
Yeah. And you look, you mentioned the rep count. You look at things. I mean, this is a fairly fresh group compared to what they were trotted out there in 2021. I mean, those guys,
totally.
Tangelo, Ebikidi, Brisker, those guys played a ton of snaps. You can even look at the tackle numbers this year. Like, they're not even close to where Penn State is, because I think they spread those numbers out. They spread those reps out, and guys are at the end of the year a lot fresher than we're used to seeing, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And part of that's Manny Diaz, obviously, too, and what his preferences are. Speaking of that, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Penn State, well represented on both really defense and offense and special teams for the All Big Ten teams. Anything that stands out to you about that stuff?
Yes. The defensive side of the ball, Jair Brown and Kalen King as third teamers is one of the most absurd things I've seen. And I don't really get
yes.
too high or too low on All Big Ten teams, especially the media teams, but like, those guys were awesome. And this is where we're at the end of the season. I think it is terrible for those guys who deserve much better. Kalen King, a second team All-American, according to PFF, you can find a middle ground there. And I didn't expect Penn State to have multiple first team defensive backs, because there are good, you know, Illinois secondary was very good. Some of those other guys are very good, but the way that those guys played maybe ate into the votes a little bit from each other. You know, you talk about some of those Heisman candidates from the same team or the same region, you know, eating into each other. That could have been it, but just those two guys really stuck out to me as guys that were kind of disrespected in that vote.
Yeah, I'm going to pull back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz here somewhat. I am a voter for basketball, for Big Ten basketball, All Big Ten preseason, All Big Ten after the season. And, you know, I don't want to speak for everyone, but we got a lot of stuff going on. And so a lot of times the way that these things fall out is feedback. I get feedback from people who I know who are involved, obviously, in college basketball, who are able to share with me some of their impressions and some guys who, may stand out. And then it's the stats. And so that's like, I think from the media side, right? From the media side of things, that's certainly the case. And I hate to say it, but like, I cannot imagine a head coach actually taking the time to do this. And so should I suggest that an assistant, right? Like an administrative assistant is the one who is actually pulling the lever on some of these? Absolutely. I'll say it. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's a little bit of a shame for those guys, but also not something like, just is what it is. I don't think the people who are voting necessarily take a ton of time to figure those things out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Nick Singleton, freshman of the year. Offensive side of the ball. I mean, who else was there? But also, he was awesome. So,
yeah. Olu on the second team, which missing those games is obviously going to hurt, especially when it's the bulk of Big Ten half of your Big Ten season. Good to see Brenton Strange on there. I thought he had a really good year. It's a good year for tight ends in the league. So they had some decisions to make there. But Sean Clifford, all Big Ten honorable mention. Any thoughts?
So don't do that. Don't give that to me.
Right to you. Yeah. No, I mean, good
yeah, friend. No. Look, he, if you, and I ran these numbers, and I talked to T. Frank about it midway through the season or later in the season, if you look at his numbers and his quarterback rating and all of those different things, he was fairly clearly the fourth best quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and I don't know what that says about the rest of the quarterbacks in the league. I think that that's a fair critique. I think that Sean Clifford had a fine year. We don't even have to have this conversation. He is what he is. It's fine. We'll see what happens with this last game. I think it is fine that somebody, because here's the other secret. Yeah. Only one person has to vote to get an honorable mention nod. So, yeah. It does not, somebody thought he was honorable mention. Sure. Or a third team, candidate. Fine.
No problem. No problem whatsoever. I mean, he earned that level of praise. Absolutely. I don't have a problem with it all. And, you know, he's been around for a long time, so a lot of people know him, and good for him. And, you know, good to go out on that note. Bunch of offensive linemen getting in there. I mean, as you mentioned, it takes one. Bryce Effner got an honorable mention, which he started to have, didn't even start half the games this year. So there's, we've spent way too much time talking about all Big Ten teams.
Correct.
I think that's the gist of it. You mentioned the fourth best quarterback in the Big Ten. Penn State no longer has four quarterbacks on its roster, or won't as of Monday when the transfer portal opens up and multiple players will fall headfirst into it. Christian Veyer announcing he's going to the portal. Probably the least surprising news coming out of there. James Franklin said that he would like to keep him, but with Drew Aller passing him in August and Bo Perbula right there, Penn State will be down to two backups behind Sean Clifford, and then Jackson Smolak's going to come in January. So you've got three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster for the spring, which is enough. And I've said it before, Penn State will look to see if they can maybe add a depth guy, but that's a very, very tough thing to do because you're obviously not coming in here to start. Coming in here to play is even a bit of a stretch. So maybe find a guy that's looking for a future GA job that's got some experience and make it happen. We'll see what happens at that position. But Christian headed to the portal. I thought he's a good player. I think there's more upside for the other guys on the roster, but I think he can find himself in a situation where he can potentially start and could be a Power 5 job. I mean, Tyler Bowen's down there at Virginia Tech calling the offense. He recruited him to Penn State, so that one makes a lot of sense. From Canada, Syracuse is a school that makes sense as well. So I think there's landing spots, and I think schools will be very happy to take him up on his offer of entering the portal and trying to find a new home, because I think there's a guy that can start in 2023, but I just don't think it was going to happen at Penn State.
Definitely not. And also Mason Stahl is out there as a guy that had been a backup had been repping at scout team for quarterback for Penn State, went over to receiver. He's still got eligibility. So there's a possibility there of adding to depth. Like it, that seems to be a likely outcome to me, is that fourth quarterback is somewhere on the walk-on spectrum.
Yeah, Jack Lambert is committed from North Carolina as well as a walk-on quarterback. So they've got numbers. It's just a matter of quality. And hey, you and I really like Bo Perbula. I mean, we could have the Drew conversation all year long, but Bo is a good player. And from talking to people in the program, he gets things done. He's not as naturally talented as Drew, but at the same time, we saw what he was as a high school player. We see what he is as a potential college quarterback. And I think we like what we've seen so far. Because we haven't seen a ton of him.
Yeah, there's a reason that he had buzz through. Like, I'm going to say this, and I know the feedback that it's going to get, but I do in some ways consider this a quarterback competition. And certainly James Franklin's going to say that. Certainly the program is going to say that, and it's going to sound like lip service. But I do think that Drew Aller is going to have to win that job. I think that there will be competition because Bo Perbula has got, like, he just, you know, it is what it is. Like, people can believe me or not, but he just brings it.
He made more plays in the spring. I mean, you can say that. Like, he made more plays than Drew in the spring. Drew, obviously, on a different curve. I mean, and a higher ceiling and everything like that. But Bo is nothing to sneeze at. I think he's a really good prospect. And you know, in a different year, maybe he does it. I mean, I think we're both on the same page that we expect Drew to be the guy. I don't think that's any hot take or anything like that. But at the same time, right, it's closer than you want to, than probably some people want to admit.
Right. Let's get into the real stuff here, Fitz. I'm expecting crazy. Are you expecting crazy? Like, this is it. We're here. There it is. My graphic. Thanks, T. Frank. NIL, it's real. Stuff is happening. Stuff's going to happen today with Success with Honor. There's stuff happening with Lions Legacy Club. There is stuff happening with the We Are NIL. What do you got? What do you got from the recruiting front? And then I'll tell you what I got from the player front.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy the next couple of weeks because everything is overlapping. You've got a National Signing Day in a few weeks. You've got the portal opening up on Monday. And we've said this before. Don't be surprised if you see people that you don't expect to go into the portal, go into the portal. And that could be a leverage tactic. That could be a lot of things. I don't think you can rule anything out just because we haven't been through it so far. And I'm not suggesting that anybody in particular is going to go into the portal, but you're going to see a name and you'll be like, oh, okay. And whether that's at Penn State or somewhere else, I mean, that remains to be seen. But NIL is a big driver right now at every level, at high school recruiting, at portal recruiting, and getting guys back, and roster retention is going to be very important. And that's what they're going to spend December focused on for the most part. I mean, they're going to go after transfers and everything, but it's retention of your current players, retention of your current commits, because as things get closer, guys could panic and schools could panic and offer out these crazy NIL deals and things like that. And I think that it's something that we're going to see some turnover on both sides of that. So it's going to be very fascinating to follow. I think it's going to upset some people because it's not your typical December. It's not your typical lead up to National Signing Day. It's going to be insane, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think here's the thing. I want to do a couple of things. One, I want to not say any names because one, I don't know any names, but two, I don't think it's fair to those guys to add hypotheticals to anybody. But I would just say this, the way it's been described to me and kind of my understanding broadly is that Penn State doesn't have, first of all, these guys committed to play for Penn State, okay, during the first half year of NIL, right? So yes, by December, when they actually signed on the dotted line and signed their national letter of intent, it had been going for 6 months, but a lot of these guys committed before NIL was even a thing. Okay.
Right.
They want to be at Penn State. And this is going to apply to most other schools as well for a lot of these freshmen that are playing right now. And Penn State happens to have a standout true freshman class. The deal is that Penn State will not have to beat the highest offer in most cases. Okay. It's not about that. It's about, can Penn State be competitive? Can Penn State offer something, right? Because and this is in all of our lives, you and money is a big part of it, right? Is a recognition of one's talents and of what somebody brings to the table. And so if you've got players who have demonstrated themselves to be not only a value to your program, but a value to somebody else's program, there has to be a compensation for that at this point. That's the bottom line. And so it's my super interest from where I'm watching is not about whether or not Penn State is going to do everything that it can to meet and match, you know, whatever, like you said, those leverage tactics, just to be in the ball game, but whether or not that ball game is backed by the collectives that are going to have to come through with some of the funding. And if it's not collectives, then directives, right? Are there singular donors out there who can step up for Penn State and write a check when a check needs to be written? I think to a lot of just being around this program for as long as I have, I mean, this is year 18. I understand that the things that I'm saying sound like crazy, right? To a lot of the audience that is following this, but this is it. It is happening. NIL is a big deal everywhere. It's something that you're going to have to watch for. And I'm very eager to see how this plays out, not just from certainly a national perspective, but whether or not Penn State has the infrastructure in place to be able to do what needs to be done, selling players that are currently on the roster to stay, to not take a better offer that's out there. Because I feel 100% confident about this. Other offers will be out there that are better than what Penn State can provide for some players on this team.
Yeah. And there's the comfort level. There's all that stuff. But at the same time, I mean, you look at recruiting, Michigan is 12-0 and number two team in the country. And they just lost their top commit to Miami, who looks from the outside like a bit of a dumpster fire at this point. But they are known as an NIL giant. There are a few of those schools, Texas A&M, that have come up and have not been shy about the way that they are going to build their programs and do things. Now, you got to win at some point, obviously. But at the same time, it's very interesting to see how these things can change a recruitment. They can change a lifestyle for a player. They can change a lot of things. And that's not, you know, if you are not up with the times and adjusting to everything. And I'm not saying that it's going to change everything for every player, because every player is different. But you're going to have to open yourself up to that possibility. And value will be different for different positions. Value will be different for different differences on the eligibility clock and things like that. So a receiver goes into the portal, and Penn State needs a receiver in the worst way right now. He is very valuable to them. But at the same time, Ohio State doesn't need a receiver. He's not valuable to those guys. So it's going to be a working economy with certain positions. It's going to be a situation where maybe you're a number two at a position, but you're still pretty good. Think of Penn State's tight ends this year. They had three really, really good tight ends. And, you know, they could be like we say this all the time, this guy could be a starter at a different school. Now it's a possibility that guy could be a starter at another school in the next year, because they value that, because that school has a hole. So there's really a lot of working gears here at play. And it's crazy, man. Like it's a situation that we're not used to. We're not sure how to cover it from the portal standpoint. It's fine. You know, we've covered transfers before. Going to be a little bit more open this year. I think it's going to be a lot more like high school recruiting, with guys posting their offers and schools offering a lot more schools offering a lot more players just to be in the mix. If they decide that they want to push, then later it's kind of like recruiting. When you throw the money aspect into it, things will change like that. And I'm not a good snapper of the fingers, but you can imagine what it looks like when I do. Things will change, can and will change. And that will make December very interesting. And then after guys sign, usually it's done. It's not necessarily done, because you've still got coaches and parents, and you can't make contact with a player, but you can sure as hell back channel the hell out of it and figure out how to get in touch with the right people. So I think that's really what it comes down to. And it's just, it's set up for chaos. You know, it could be better legislated, but this is the NCAA we're talking about. So it also could not be.
Yeah. I think the interesting component to me from the recruiting side of things for Penn State is how relational the recruiting process is, right? That is such a huge component to what Penn State as a football program wants to do. They build these relationships. They're so strong. And that's what people talk about, right? That's what the players, the recruits talk about when they finally get to signing. And, you know, it's like they're up on screen on signing day and they're talking about, how much they value those relationships with recruiting position coordinators and obviously James Franklin and so on and so forth. What happens when somebody pulls an offer from outer space, right? And it's crazy at the very last second that there's this money component that has not been part of the equation previously becomes part of the equation. And having to, like, to me, that's the biggest thing, is you've got this lengthy, years-long process that happens in recruiting. And now you've got to make a decision at the very last minute. and making decisions at the very last minute is, anybody can tell you this, like, it, stuff goes crazy. It's not your cleanest thinking about an issue. And so that's just the element that I expect to get kind of wild.
To that point, you've got to have all your ducks in a row. Like, you've got to have your collectives on the same page. You've got to have all the alignment that James Franklin talks about, where he was talking about head coach, athletic director, president. Well, now you add a lot of different variables into that, with the collectives, with the donors that you're relying on to fill in the gaps, per se. And then you've got to figure out, you know, there's going to be kids absolutely burned from this. Like, there's going to be promises made, and I'm not saying this is a Penn State level, but there's going to be promises made that they cannot uphold because they don't have the money to get it done, or they've decided that the money is better spent elsewhere. And that's going to add a different element of it. And, you know, maybe we're having this conversation again in a year with the same type of outcome.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to talk about this on the fly here, Fitz, but it feels like a regular season recap is probably for another show at this point. At this point,
yeah, I think everybody knows 10-2 did a good job. Yeah, I we'll talk about that on Monday after we know Penn State's bowl projection, or not, it's not a projection anymore, but where Penn State's going to end up in the bowl. Because that, I think the NIL talk is more important than that right now. Just season recap is great, but the NIL talk is real, as you said, and it's something that's going to not control the next couple of weeks, but really have a heavy hand in how things are going to go the next couple of weeks with recruiting, with portal, with everything, really.
Yep. Very, very much on the same page with that. They did it. They went 10-2, and we have 10 months to dissect every element of that. What do you got? Bowl prediction. Who do you think Penn State will play in which bowl?
I will go with the Rose Bowl against Washington for some reason.
Yeah, ditto.
Yourself?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah, no, because I think that if Southern Cal loses, and let's think about this. There's four teams. No. Yeah, Southern Cal's the fourth, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if Southern Cal's the fourth, Southern Cal loses, Ohio State's in. Penn State goes to the Rose Bowl. If Ohio State is out because Southern Cal is in, Ohio State still doesn't go to the Rose Bowl because they don't want to go to the Rose Bowl. So that leaves Penn State in the Rose Bowl.
We'll take it. Yeah.
Sure.
Penn State has not clearly Penn State has not played against Michael Penix enough in the last few years. So to see him, he's doing really well. I've always been a big fan of his, an incredibly talented kid. That would be a dynamic offense, be a really good matchup as well. So, I think a fun matchup as well.
Yeah. I think certainly for Penn State fans who are, come out of the regular season feeling as though not nothing had been accomplished, but that a marquee win had not been gained. It's a valid thing to talk about. And it's a valid thing to think, no matter who they end up with in whatever bowl game they end up in at this point, based on their accomplishments so far, they're going to have that opportunity. They're going to get a last crack at a marquee quote unquote win. And certainly if it's Washington, that would be very interesting for Penn State.
Washington would be interesting too, because you look at the two quarterbacks, don't see Sean Clifford opting out, but Michael Penix, NFL prospect, guy that's had some injuries. Maybe that's a situation where that comes to play, but less likely in a New Year's Six Bowl, especially the Rose Bowl, I would think. But we don't know Michael Penix like we used to know Michael Penix.
We don't.
But here we are. So, all right, close out the show.
Do you have that t-shirt? Do you have the...
I don't have that t-shirt. I have lots of home field t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now, but I do not have that one. No, I think I would be murdered if it found out that I had that shirt.
Yeah, that would be terrible. That would be awful. Okay. Sean Fitz, I'm Nate Bauer. This is the Blue White Illustrated Daily Edition. Please like our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have not already, now is the time, because there's dirt. There's stuff happening on our message boards at bluewhiteillustrated.com. It is $10 from now until August 31st of 2023. I promise you, you will not regret it. I'm there. I live there. Sean lives there. Ryan Snyder lives there. Greg lives there. T Frank, like everybody, we live there. So join us. It's very inexpensive to get in on the front end. And we'd love to have you. So as always, thank you very much. Good night.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.